Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of James chapter 5, we were talking about being very careful when we make a vow to keep it. God calls the man that doesn't keep his vow a fool. Let's continue with that subject today.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, we read this: Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. You pray at home. You pray somewhere else, at church, and you make God a promise, and then you don't keep it. He says he has no pleasure in you. He says better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. And then Ecclesiastes 5:6 goes on to say, Suffer not thy mouth to suffer thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? The Christian must always, always, always keep his word, even if it hurts him personally. Now, none of these verses are telling us that it is wrong to make a vow or an oath. Neither is it telling us to not invoke the name of the Lord in declaring something to be true. As a matter of fact, several times the Apostle Paul confirmed his testimony by telling us that God is my witness. You see, a vow or an oath is a response to God's Holy Spirit. And it's really the highest form of love to give back to God if you keep your word. Did you get that? You see, friend, when you hear the preacher preach, or you're reading the Bible yourself, and boy, God shows you something, or God impresses on your heart, boy, you know, you need to promise God that you'll witness. You need to promise God this. You need to promise God that you'll give. You need to promise God that you're going to do that. And you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. Many times there are people that say that to try to get the Holy Spirit off their back. And that's what God said he has no pleasure in. He says that's being a fool. But God speaks to your heart, and you know that thing is hard. But if God spoke to your heart about it, he wants you to do it. And he's going to be with you in it, no matter how hard it is. But it's also the highest form of love on your part that you give back to God by doing that which he has asked. You give your word. That's love. I believe that there are things God wants us to vow or oath. I believe he lays things on our hearts, as I said, many times through a sermon. What he's saying here, when you make that promise, defer not to pay it. If your love is real, it will trust God, and it'll make the oath, even if you enter and you find that you're like Noah, it's a long time, and little, it seems like little fruit. Remember Joshua making a league with the Gibeonites? That wasn't God's will. They were supposed to destroy all the people of the land. The Gibeonites deceived Joshua. They disguised themselves, and then they come as if they were from a far country and met Joshua and said, we're from a far country. We want to set up conditions of peace with you and be subservient and so forth. And Joshua, without consulting the Lord, said, well, that sounds good. He talked to the other leaders of the land. They thought the same thing. They made the deal. And then they found out that the Gibeonites lived right there. Now, that was against the will of God. However, once they gave their word, God expected them to keep it. Years later, King Saul killed many of the Gibeonites. And because he did that, there was a famine in Israel for 3 years. And when King David asked God, why is this famine here? The Lord said, because Saul did this to the Gibeonites. And so David contacted the Gibeonites, say, hey, what do you want? They said, let us hang 7 of the descendants here of Saul. And so 7 of his sons died as a result. And once they did that, then God lifted the famine. But although it was God's will first not to make a covenant, once they gave their word, God expected them to keep their word. You may feel like that you married the wrong person. You may feel like it was not God's will. But once you're married to that person and you gave that word, till death do us part, God expects you to keep your word. Now, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to kill her so you can part, but it does mean you keep your word. It isn't till the bills pile up and you say, well, that's a good reason. No, God expects you to keep your word. The story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, I believe, is ample to teach us God's view of lying. They lied about what they gave. They gave, and they probably gave a good amount. But they lied about how much they gave, and God struck them dead. Now, I believe there are probably people all the time that lie to the IRS and say they gave so much, and they didn't. But nonetheless, God hates that lie so much like that that he calls it needs a death penalty. Now, not everybody does that, but God did it to this first ones because he wanted to show how serious this sin is in our lives. Now, among all oaths, perhaps the worst is profanity. Profanity is a senseless and disgusting sin. It is a shame that men and women who name the name of Christ would use that precious name in any irreverent manner, whether it be a joke, anger, or just plain everyday use. People will trip and they'll say, oh, well, God, or they'll say, well, God, I know that, or something like that to people, and they just use it so nonchalantly. Don't forget, it is the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and therefore it reveals your inner man. You ever notice that you don't hear people saying, oh, Allah? You don't hear that. Now, think of this as it is associated with the giving of an oath, especially since God's name is invoked. An oath is a solemn confirmation or attestation of a statement which appeals to a higher authority. Now, friend, there is no higher authority than God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear, that is, that God could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. For men verily swear by the greater, for an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So we think about this solemn confirmation that God made to Abraham, and that was an example to us that when we make a promise unto God, that we stand behind it, but especially we don't want to be profane in the use of the name of the Lord. And we don't want to make wrong oaths. Now, let me give you an example of an oath that you should not make. As a matter of fact, this does not come from me personally. This is Dr. Lehman Strauss, who is now with the Lord. But Dr. Strauss gives this example. Listen to this oath. Binding myself under no less penalty than that of having my throat cut across, my tongue torn out by its roots, and buried in the rough sands of the sea at low water mark, where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours, should I ever knowingly or willingly violate this my solemn oath and obligation as an entered apprentice mason. So help me God, and keep me steadfast in the due performance of the same. Now notice he said, so help me God, to be an entered apprentice mason. Now listen to the second oath. Binding myself under no less a penalty than that of having my body severed in twain, my bowels taken from thence and burned to ashes, the ashes scattered to the four winds of the heaven, so that no more trace or remembrance may be had of so vile and perjured a wretch as I, should I ever knowingly or willingly violate this my solemn obligation as a master mason, so help me God, and keep me steadfast in the due performance of the same. Well, the apprentice mason or the master mason both invoke the name of God. Now, let's ask a question. Can a Christian bind himself to that oath and be biblically right, since he has sworn himself to suicide if he keeps not the oath? He is sworn to murder if he keeps not the oath. See, that is an unholy and profane oath that dishonors God and His holy word. This is an oath that should not be taken by anyone, especially a Christian. I believe 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17 comes in here. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now, some say, well, hey, you got to say that you believe in God. Well, that's not what the Bible means by being a believer. A believer is one that believes that Jesus Christ indeed died on the cross for their sins and rose up from the dead, and that shedding His precious blood, He paid their penalty in full. Believing that, they have received Him as their Lord and Savior, and therefore they believe that salvation is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone, not plus works, not plus the church or anything else. And they have repented from their sins and turned to Christ. That's what is meant by a believer. And if everybody in that group is not a believer, then you have an unequal yoke. Okay? Now, and that is true for marriage. That's why you should not marry an unbeliever. So he says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? The word fellowship has partnership. That's what it means, a partnership. Often the word is used in marriage. It's used in business relationships and to a business partnership. So what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Is this oath light, or is that loath darkness? You already know that, don't you? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet, and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website, and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
guides my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible says.